afternoon, good afternoon. This is Blessed Sport Podcast. I'm your host, Luis Rivera. Today is not amazing, but interesting, and I'm excited. It's going to be an exciting interview, but before we continue and I present you the guest, please click on the subscribe button. If you're not following me, follow me so you can see and hear a lot of episodes, my recent interviews, and so on. Today, for me, it is amazing because I heard your story. There's a lot of common things. I was an athlete. I ran the same event as you, but today we have Gabriela Scott Bowie. Gabriela, thank you so much for taking your time. I know it's been hectic. You were recently in the Central American Games, and being an athlete, I was an athlete before, but not to the extent representing Puerto Rico, but thank you so much for taking the time and helping me, because this will help me grow little by little. But thank you so much for taking the opportunity, giving me a chance for this interview.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you so much for having me. I'm definitely excited to sit and chat and, you know, tell my story and also, of course, have your podcast blow up.
Thank you. Thank you. So let's get to it. In all the episodes, all my interviews, I always have this segment called rapid questions. So it's just little things to get to know you, and then we get to the serious questions. So I have my script here. So
there you go.
You see me reading. I have to write everything down because I forget. Sometimes I write things down and I just don't even ask the questions. But definitely. What's your favorite color?
Purple, definitely. I have purple nails right now, so yeah.
What's your favorite movie?
Titanic.
Titanic, okay.
Yeah.
Besides being an athlete, what's do you have a hobby?
Yeah, so I do a lot of stuff dealing with curly hair, so I'm a natural hair consultant. So that's definitely my passion, is helping people learn their hair and to love it as well.
All right. If you didn't do track, what other sport or profession would you want to do?
Play volleyball, definitely. So I did soccer and volleyball in high school as well, and I did soccer actually for 13 years. So volleyball was my love. That's what I wanted to do. Track was just a better option as far as opportunities. But if I did redo it or change some things, yeah, I'd definitely be playing volleyball and try to play professional for sure.
And the last question, athlete you want to meet that you haven't got the chance to do, that's alive or passed away?
Let's see. I'd probably say Stu Bird, the WNBA All-Star, obviously so passionate and deeply paved the way. He went to sports, especially with his basketball, but can always get the respect that they deserve. And obviously she's with Megan Rapinoe, so I just think they're just an amazing duo. So I would just love to talk to her and kind of get, you know, her info and she went through some of the trailblazers and really enjoying sports.
Nice, nice, nice. So those were the rapid questions, just five simple ones. So let's talk to us about your high school days doing sports. Did you do, you already answered this, but just for the fans, the people that are watching now, did you do multiple sports and what sports?
Definitely, yeah. So, like I said, I did soccer and volleyball as well. So, I did soccer since I was 5 years old. And then when I got to high school, I started volleyball. I actually didn't do track until my sophomore year. But I really didn't do track until my junior year. And I was doing club in high school. So, lots of sports, spent a lot of my time. Definitely a big part of what I did in high school and, you know, what I loved and everything. And I scored athlete in varsity all of it. Yeah, did well in all the sports while I was there. Had close to work with the field, our standing. I was really far with the volleyball team, and then our soccer team actually got the first state championship for our school as well. So, had some good fun in sports night.
Yeah, it brings. I also did track because I started doing track in 11th grade. That's junior year. Yeah, my junior year, and I was like, I'm gonna do, because I used to do basketball and football. And I was like, I'm going to do track so I could leave early from school. We used to leave early. So I was like, let me do it. And they needed somebody in the 400, and I was like, oh, let me just do it. And I did it in 1 minute, and I beat everybody, but that was high school. And then I kept on. So it's just like I said in the beginning, this interview is going to be one of my best ones, because you just said that you started track in junior year.
Mm-hmm.
When you said you started in your junior year, what made you do track, and especially in the 400?
Yeah, so kind of similar. I mean, soccer was my main thing. So the track coach had trying to get me to come out my freshman year, and I was just really busy with club, high school, soccer, and volleyball. And, you know, he had seen me be fast on the soccer foot. They actually thought I was going to be a high jump foot at first, given my, you know, long stature, long legs, everything. And then when I came to tryout my sophomore year, and they were like, no, he's actually, like, not just soccer fast, he's actually sprint. I think we all desire to do the one and the two, like if the hand were fast enough, and I wasn't. So I did the two and the four, but yeah, definitely just do the four, mainly just with my endurance, actually. So I was doing that 4x4, and it was pretty much back away.
That's awesome. So we're going to move forward, speed it up. Your college years, talk to us about that transition from high school, college, and then pro. All that transition, like how different and how difficult those training, because from high school, because me, especially me, the coaches we had in Puerto Rico, I used to study in the base. They were just there. Some of them knew what they were doing, but it wasn't like straight. They weren't pushing, and I could have kept on my my athlete years running. But how different and how difficult were those trainings and the transition moving to college and then pro? Talk to us a little bit about that.
Definitely. So I kind of had a similar situation. Like, track coaches were good, but. Like, our sprint coach was more football, but he still had, like, some track background. I didn't necessarily have, like, a whole setup as far as, you know, some kids in high school, you know, doing workouts like college kids, but, like, pro. That definitely wasn't the case for me. I mean, I was only running just executives in high school. And then, so, I got to college, and it was definitely a pretty big change. I think I adapted actually to easily, honestly, to the program. I just had a lot of time, so I already knew I was going to have to level up. It kind of helped my junior and senior year. The seven who had a former athlete my high school come down, who had ran at a college, he was able to come down and kind of give me some workouts, and like, hey, this is what you're going to be doing. So I think that kind of helped me prepare to know the kind of workouts that I was going to have. I definitely had a slow progression throughout college. I had probably my breakout year, and I was doing well by my sophomore year, but definitely broke out pretty much in senior year. Yeah, just slowly built up and everything, and I think as my body adjusted to the sport, especially to the program, the weight program, and, you know, you're balancing school and you're balancing track and everything like that. So it was a pretty smooth transition, but there's definitely some things I had to adjust to, and then I was doing quant hurdles and college as well, so I had never done hurdles before. They're kind of like, you know, you have long legs, obviously, you know, since I played volleyball, and so I got thrown into that. So that was probably the biggest one, was the fact that I was now hurdling, obviously. It came somewhat natural because I had a flexibility, but it obviously just wasn't like my strong suit as far as active technique. I just kind of got away with some technique and then a lot of athletic ability. So, and then going pro, that was definitely a huge coach. I mean, we've had a lot of people come to our coach from different programs. Definitely one of the hardest training programs throughout, for sure, especially our fall base. And so that was really big. Okay, now track is my focus, and you know, I'm having training where I don't want to do anything after for the day, possibly for the week. And, you know, you need all the extra things. At that point, everyone is talented. So it's not enough to be talented once you're pro. in college, you can kind of get away with maybe certain habits and maybe not as much discipline. But once you're pro, you know, all the little things matter. So I think it's just learning that as well. And, you know, learning supplement and recovery, obviously, picking up equipment, you're naturally with the training and the running as well. So that was definitely basic, and especially listening to your body. That was the basic. You're used to college people telling you, you're doing this, but you're doing that, and that was it. And even though we get told what to do from our coach, it's very much individual. You know, we have a pro group of a bunch of different athletes from a bunch of different countries. It's not points for the team like it's college. And so I think that was also a big thing, learning to listen to my body. And, you know, sometimes when I just need to say, hey, coach, this is all I have today. Like, my body's tired. And my recovery time. And then when you see when it's just kind of achy and you got to push through it. So, the recovery part is big.
Nice. Yeah, me, from high school to college, I only did 1 year of college, and I was like, nah, this is, I can't. I went to the La Jutas. Have you heard about La Jutas?
Okay. Yeah, definitely.
Back then, there was two different, like, leagues. Now there's just one league. So, we weren't the top one. We were in the bottom one, and our university won, but I ran and I did the pole vault and the 400. The pole vault because they needed points. So, and the 400, I got to the finals, but all that training, it was the transition, it was so difficult for me because in high school, it wasn't like that strict and, oh, run. Like, I didn't have drills and it was so hard for me, and I was natural, so I ran, and I always got second place, and I competed against some Felix Martinez. He went to Beijing to represent Puerto Rico. He always beat us, like, by 4 seconds, always. But it was, for me, it was difficult. I had to do hurdles in university. I hate it because I'm not that tall. At the hurdles, my age, they were really tall, but I went down. My lowest was 47 something, but
okay, it wasn't
back then. 20 years ago, and I got 7th place. But it, for me, it was really hard. I was like, nah, I'm not gonna do this no more. I'm just gonna continue doing my studies, and that's it. So, I heard your story on Instagram. The 50 interesting athletes, and I like the story. You did track 400, you just said junior year, and then I heard that your parents are not together. My parents, since I was in second grade, they got divorced. But how, because for me, there was a lot of things that was difficult. How did you focus in dealing with that and being back and forth with your parents and being an athlete? How strong, how focused, and how did you deal all that at the same time?
My parents had divorced when I was 5 years. Pretty much one with me, obviously, at this point. I will say that they did a great job co-parenting. It had its messiness, of course, throughout the divorce and then, you know, directly afterwards. But I will say my parents did a great job of, like, putting me first, especially if you're also proud. I think they did a great job of that. You know, there definitely was the difficulty as far as two separate houses and you're taking all your training gear and lugging back and forth. Like I said, especially when I got to the point where I was doing multiple sports, and I think the other thing is, you know, every person is different. So my parents are different individuals. I think also making sure that keeping my things at both homes as well. But as far as dealing with it, I just let it steer me away. My parents knew how much I love sports, and they just make sure to support that. And it's fun now because I'm at the point where I have friends who are either together and have kids or have been divorced. And that's one of the things that we definitely have conversations about now that I'm a girl, and I tell them, you know, it makes a huge difference how people get to decide them if we get together or ex to the other, and just putting the child in you know, making sure that they're loved too. They're not the problem. They're not the one that should be positive, things like that. I think a lot of kids sometimes feel that way. The parents are arguing and the school. I guess we had some people who went through some really messy divorce situations when they were kids. And I'm just glad I wasn't one that had too bad of an effect. Yeah, it's definitely this, like I said, I had to stay in my not but it affected my sports. I think that definitely tested my parents too, it's how they handled themselves.
Awesome. I skipped a question because I got excited. But
you're good.
When I train or when I go to the gym, I gotta go back to the gym because I've been eating a lot. But when I go to the gym or train, I always hear like motivation speeches or specific people. When you train, do you follow any athlete or entrepreneur? Like for me, I hear a lot of, before I used to hear a lot of Michael Jordan and then Kobe Bryant. And mm-hmm. I love Kobe's, like, his work ethic. Do you follow anybody, like, for your trainings?
Yeah, I mean, my dad was definitely thinking about Kobe Bryant. That was definitely somebody I, you know, grew up watching and admiring his mentality and quarters and his attitude, his work ethic. I think now I still follow a lot of soccer players. Alex Morgan and Megan Rapinoe, those are definitely good people, again, as far as pushing their sport and especially, you know, their sport. And I think there's other track athletes even now. I'm around the biggest, you know, athletes in track field. You know, I train with some of the best athletes in the world. I'm constantly around them, competing with them. It's like, you know, we're regular people, but I think it's really good because we come together and kind of share our stories. And, you know, it's always good to let them know when you're not alone. They fall on each other. But the other side of it is just like, we just know we're in this, like, together. Even though it's individual sport, like, we're all going through the ups and downs, going through the highs, the lows, things like that. So I think just hearing the stories and talking to athletes in my realm who are going through exactly what I'm going through or have gone through, that's probably my biggest, you know, people I like to follow.
And in every athlete's career, there's always up and downs.
Mm-hmm.
You win, you lose. When you had those down days, like, did you have, like, for me, my best friend, rest in peace, he passed away 10 years ago. I always called him anytime, and he always cheered me up. Did you have somebody specific that you could call and cheer you up in those rough moments?
Definitely. I mean, I live with my boyfriend, who is Olympian also for Puerto Rico, so he's literally been through it the same way. He sees the day-to-day that I've been going through more than anybody else, and that's the first person I call if I have a bad reaction. That's the person I go to, because I think he's really good at putting things in perspective. And a lot of times when it's a small thing, it will just kind of not magnify them to something bigger. And then even when there are big issues, you know, let's feel those emotions, but then what's the solution to go from there? So he's definitely my one of my biggest friends, because he's the one who sees every single thing that I'm going through. That's definitely the person I lean on a lot.
When you turn pro, after college, you turn pro, when did you have that vision? Because every athlete, my favorite sport is basketball. I always say I wanted to be in the NBA, but there's different.
Mm-hmm.
I ended up representing Puerto Rico playing American football. We went to Mexico, and I was like, I wanted to play basketball, and I'm here playing football. But when did you have that vision of Olympics? I want to go to the Olympics. Did you ever have a vision? I'm running track. I think I have the potential to be in the Olympics. When did you figure out that?
Yeah, I think, honestly, I always had aspirations to go to the Olympics before I get back. Obviously, at the time, it was all that I was doing. So, yeah, probably since middle school, even maybe fifth grade is when I really was like, okay, I want to go to the Olympics. In college, it was 2017, so the summer after my sophomore year was when I actually met up with a couple of admin at the Federation. That was the time we were discussing what my future was going to look like in order to make that happen. So I think when I had that visit, and really got to the Olympic Training Center and the Olympic House in Puerto Rico, I think that was when I was like, at the time I was like 20 years old, I was like, I have a lot of growth, and I just had a new pride to represent the island at the highest level, at the highest stage, and that's been pretty much ever since then, that's when it's just been riding along.
Now, you representing Puerto Rico, like, all the athletes, it doesn't matter the sports, they always go to different competition, different countries. Like, when you go to these countries, like, what's the best part of traveling to these countries, like, experience, like, besides your competition, like,
mm-hmm.
after the competition, what do you bring, like, what's the excitement, like, traveling?
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely a big explorer. So I love to explore whatever city or country I'm in, you know, learn about what the locals do. I love to try, like, local food wherever I'm at as well as places after the competition in case, for whatever reason, it doesn't agree with my body. That's definitely one of the biggest things. Yeah, just culture a little bit and, you know, always pretty much ask the front desk wherever we stay, like, you know, where are the main spots to go to, like, what are some of the big historical and like, places to go. So that's definitely my favorite part. You know? I get to travel on someone else's dime, and I get to so those are probably my two favorite things.
All right, we got the last three questions. I left it for the last, the best for last. How does it feel every time you go to a competition? How does it feel to wear when you put that uniform and it says Puerto Rico? How does it feel when you're there, you're ready on the track? At least for me, when I didn't expect going to Mexico to play football. It wasn't like a big deal because in Puerto Rico, American football is not that big, but me having the jersey that I didn't turn back in, I kept it. But for me, it was like, for me, that was my Super Bowl, my Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
I always wanted to represent my country. For you, how does it feel to wear those red, white, and blue?
Yeah, it's definitely special. You know, my mom was born and raised on the island. She's always had a lot of Puerto Rican pride, especially the fact that growing up in San Diego was like a bunch of us over there. You know, so it's very different. And I think I first feel the pride for her as her daughter. And I can almost like feel her like tearing up in the stands watching TV and watching her daughter represent her because she loves so much. And it's also just beautiful because the people are beautiful. You know, people are very prideful for their country and proud and they fight. And, you know, we go through a lot of obstacles, a lot of hardships on the island, but we always celebrate and always feel joy and laughter. And I think I just feel a lot of that when I have that uniform on. And, you know, that's one of the things I had said in that article for 50 interesting athletes was, you know, for USA, it's so many athletes, it's kind of everyone's rotating, whether you meet the team or not. When you're in Puerto Rico, like, and people know you, you're constantly at every event. There's not that many of us, like, you're literally representing such a small island as far as the people and for the size, which is a very big pride, a very big, just, you know, love and support and everything.
Yeah.
That's where I feel like every time I put on that uniform.
Yeah, I love Puerto Rico because we celebrate anything. Like, literally anything we say, we
anything.
Celebrate.
Always celebrating, dancing, singing, playing music. Yes.
That's one of the things that I miss. I live over here in Florida, and that's one of the things that I miss is we party every day, 7 days a week.
Yeah, there's always something to celebrate.
We got two more, and then we're going to cut it. Going back, you just recently participated in Los Centroamericanos in El Salvador. I gotta speak a little bit my Spanish so the people could hear.
There you go. Of course.
How was that experience being in El Salvador and winning that bronze medal in the 400 meters for Puerto Rico?
Yeah, it was definitely huge because I went to Central American Caribbean Games in 2018. That was my very first time competing for Puerto Rico, and I was happy to be like me. And so for 5 years later, we did the same game and did different events too at the time. And an individual event was all on me. You know, I'm not just relying on a relay. It was huge. And the women's 400 is one of the most competitive events at those games. There's just so much talent there. Was really almost, I was with people who are Olympians, medalists, things like that. So to have gotten the medals, like, it wasn't just the event, and there wasn't really the top players. Like, I had to beat top people in order to get that medal. And so it felt like I came and I accomplished what I wanted to do. And I think I accomplished even what some people may not have expected from me. And I think that's, again, a testament to being Puerto Rican, when people kind of underestimate us and don't see us always on the big stage or don't think we're deserve to be there. And so to have that moment and to win that bronze medal was huge. I think what hit me the most emotionally is when we were doing the medal ceremony and they have all three flags set up, and I think when they're playing the national anthem for Dominican Republic, I'm looking at the Puerto Rican flag, and that was the moment. And I was like, I really did this. Like, I have seen it in my vision and my dreams, and, you know, visualizing it for so long, and to have that moment be reality is definitely the most emotional.
So the last question, what's next? What's next after these games? What's next? 2024 is the Olympics. Mm-hmm. What do you have to do to reach? Because I know in track, I've had some interviews, people in track, they have to win or certain points. Mm-hmm. Or what's next for you? Because I know you want to go to the Olympics. So what's that?
Yeah, so I still have I have one more meet in the beginning of August. So I'm not done yet. Some people said I'm not done yet. We have World Championship in Budapest at the end of August. So that's basically right now what we're focusing on and prepping, you know, our bodies for to get ready. Within that time, I would love to stand there for the Olympics, which is 50.95 400. My PB is 50.97. So it's definitely attainable. I know some people are probably going to rely more on points depending on their event or where they're at. Some people would love to qualify this year. So that way, next year is fully just about prepping for the Olympics. I'm not replacing a standard or trying to go to meets to get points, as you mentioned. I definitely want to get it this year. So now it's like it just, first of all, I can relax a little bit.
Yeah.
And set the tone for next year where it's like, okay, I know I'm going to the Olympics. Now it's just preparing to have the best.
All right, you heard her. This has been amazing. One of my best interviews, because I know I got a little bit, my tongue, my English is my second language, but sometimes I get nervous and I have the things here and I'm not reading out. I want to be visual here, but out of all this, I just want to say thank you so much. Thank you for representing our small island that's 100 by 35. It's a small, small island.
Oh.
And having these athletes and shutting people up. Because the only race I saw, the only event I saw was yours. I wanted to see the 400.
Okay.
The 400. But I saw replays about one of Puerto Ricans, I think he did the 3,000.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't the favorite to win. And Mexican, and then he won the gold medal at the end.
Yeah, 500
meters. And he won, and they were like, oh, who's this? Like, he wasn't the favorite, and he won. And that's
exactly
what I like about Puerto Rico, that sometimes they don't believe in us. And
exactly.
We just gotta
go
there, represent, show up, and shut them up. But.
Exactly.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for taking your time, giving me the chance, the opportunity to interview you and hear your story. Hopefully, once you're all these competitions that you're gonna be going and qualifying for the Olympics, we could have another interview and take it from there. But from the bottom of my heart, gracias, muchísimas gracias.
De nada.
Just people say the sky's the limit, but I say the universe is infinite. So
love that.
You're gonna make it. You're gonna make it. You're gonna make the Olympics this year. A lot of athletes. We got potential. We have a lot of athletes,
yes.
And hopefully we double the athletes to go to the Olympics and represent.
But absolutely. Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you. There you have it, people. Gabriela Scott Puy, 400 meters, national team from Puerto Rico. There you have it. Gabriela, thank you so much. And
gracias.
See you next time.
See ya.